I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter 5. I'll have you remain seated. I'm going to do something just a little different this morning. I'm going to tell you a very brief story. Then we're going to read the scripture, and then I'll tell you the story behind the actual scripture. Mark chapter 5, once you found it, if you'll look back this way, I had been at a local nursing home and had done a little visiting while I was there, and I met a lady there and spent a few moments with her and talked with her and tried to encourage her. About a week or two later, I was at the hospital, and I was doing some visiting on a certain floor, and while there, I did not know this, but she was in the hospital, and they had taken her from the nursing home and put her in the hospital. I think I shared this story probably, you know, I forget, a few, many, many months ago. Well, I thought it would be, maybe I should stop in, and stepped into her room, and I talked to her for a moment. And she was maybe out of character a little bit, and she was having a rough day. And she said to me, she said, don't let them come back in here. Don't let them come back in here. And I tried to calm her down a little bit. She had her fork in her hand. And I stepped out. I went about my visiting. And when I came back through that hallway, a doctor stopped me. And there was a nurse standing there. And they said, we noticed that you were in so-and-so's room. I said, I was. And they said this. They said, could you help us, please? She responded more positively to you than she's responded to anybody since she got here. She pulls the fork out. She's threatening to stab the nurses and the doctor with her fork. And that's why that fork is out. Said, but when you went in there, she was quite calm and she spoke with you. So I went back in. When I stepped in, she thought first, I think she glanced up and thought I was a doctor or someone, and she said, and she pulled that fork back, and she said, you get out of here, and then she seen it was me, and she took her fork down. I went over and talked to her for a second, and I said, what in the world? Now, and the doctor said this. She said she's out of her mind, and she's having a hard time. So I walked back in. I said, what in the world? What's happening? She said, well, lunch will be here soon. And she kept talking about that fork. So I said, you need to relax a little bit. I stepped back out in the hallway, and the nurse, I told the nurse, I said, I'm going to tell you what I think we need to do. She said, well, what is it? I said, let's offer a spoon, lest people will be hurt that way. And that's what we did. We got a spoon, and I said, could we trade? And she honestly then calmed down. She was very upset, and lunch had something to do with it. That wasn't all of it. Her mind was coming and going, but it was a good move. And the doctor, you know, as a pastor, I'm walking away, and the doctor's just shaking his head. And this guy walks in. All I needed to do is listen to the preacher that said, swap out the fork for the spoon, and we can get on with our day. And so, that's what we did. The gal's mind was not working well, was not working right. You hear people talk about that. You ever say to yourself in a day, boy, my mind's not working right now. Now, we're going to talk about this. This is the title of my sermon today. How's your mind? How is your mind? Stand with me, if you will. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to you. And I'm going to read quite a few verses. Stay with me. Mark chapter 5, starting with verse number 1, it says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the city of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devil besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Now listen very carefully to the last verse. It says here in verse 15, And they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion setting and clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. The sermon this morning is called, How's Your Mind? Father, bless us with thy presence. Strengthen my mind. I yield it to you. And may all of us have spiritual perception today. Spirit of God, reach deep within our minds and hearts. And make us better because we've come to church. We're not here to be entertained. We're here to be changed. And may that happen from the inside out today, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Give me your undivided attention, please. The story that we here have read is about the maniac of Gadara. Jesus had came to the country of the Gadarenes. That moment that he got off the ship, there was a wild man there. He's famous. He's called the maniac of Gadara. He lived in a graveyard. The town people had tried to capture this maniac. They had chained him, but to no avail. They had put fetters on him. Fetters would have been like handcuffs, but they put them around the ankles. But he broke out of them. He had a very, very powerful, powerful way about him. They tried to tame him, but there was no luck. Night and day, this man, a human being, they found him howling at the moon and cutting himself, abusing himself. He was possessed of an unclean spirit. He was lost, unsaved, and on his way to hell. And then he met Jesus. Jesus asked him his name. He said, It's Legion, for we are many. In other words, there were many evil spirits in him. The Bible teaches that Jesus cast out the evil spirit. Those evil spirits entered into approximately 2,000 pigs that then ran into the sea and drowned themselves. When that happened, the farmer that owned the pigs, they ran into town to tell everybody exactly what had happened. And this man gets saved. He meets Jesus. He gets saved, and then you see in verse 15 the result of that salvation. It says, And they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind. Sitting. That meant this thing called salvation had brought a calmness to him. This thing called salvation had brought a submissiveness to him. It says clothed. Right away he realized that that nakedness was wrong. And he immediately covered up his nakedness. But the words that interest me most for today's sermon are these. And in his right mind. Folks, are you in the mind that God would have you to be in? Are you in your right mind? How is your mind? I glance at you on the outside. You brought your Bible, you smile, you're in church and you sang, but that does not tell me how your mind is doing. Your words, I may say, how are you today? And you say, wonderful. That's fine. Your words could say wonderful, but that does not tell me how your mind is doing. The Scripture teaches us many things about the mind. You ought to have a godly mind. You ought to have a spiritual mind. The Scripture mentions a mind of humility. In another passage of Scripture, it mentions that you and I should have the mind of Christ. In another place, it talks about a willing mind. In another place, it mentions a ready mind. Yet another spiritual aspect of the mind, it talks about being one-minded with God. Another place it speaks of lowliness of mind. What we're talking about is a spiritual, but the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, a sound mind. It talks about a fervent mind. It talks about a pure mind. We may look good on the outside. We may even speak of being good on the inside. But what shape is your mind in? The Bible talks about, it describes a weak mind, an unspiritual mind. It mentions the word doubtful mind in the Scripture, the word reprobate mind, fleshly mind, the carnal mind, the shaken mind. The Bible uses the word the defiled mind, the despiteful mind. God mentions an evil mind and a mind that is blind and a mind that is corrupt. All those words are used to describe the bad aspect of the mind. Someone mockingly said once, Christianity, that's just all in your mind. And they were mocking. Now, there may be an awful lot of truth in that statement. Now, I don't agree with their mockery, but I believe your mind is a primary part and has an awful lot of responsibility in regard to your growth and your stature and status in the Christian life. Let me tell everybody here, from the front of this auditorium all the way through the hallway, all the way out into the vestibule where people are sitting today, God knows all your thoughts. He knows all your thoughts. You hide it from everybody else, but you don't hide it from God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." God's word and God is a discerner of thoughts. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your mind. God is very interested, not only in our actions, but in the thoughts that produce those actions. Someone said that they estimate that the average mind thinks about 10,000 thoughts in a day. A few here, you might get to 2,000. But the average mind thinks 10,000 thoughts a day. Now let me explain, you have an enemy, and that enemy is an enemy to your mind. The world is your mind's enemy. The fleshly part of you is your mind's enemy. The devil will fight for influence and power over your mind. The mind's incredible. Something, a thought can be planted in your mind, and the devil can take that and scare you with it and cause you not to think right. The devil can take that and cause you to do things that you should not do. The Bible says in Romans 8, 7, because the carnal mind is enmity with God. The Bible says in Colossians 1, 21, it says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works." The Bible in Hebrews 12:3 talks about being faint in your minds. In other words, your mind's weak. The mind is somewhat the control room of your thoughts in your Christian life. And you've got to guard that control room. Boy, what you think, your perceptions are very important to the way you're going to behave. You say, well, how do things get in my mind? It gets in through your ears. It gets in through your eyes. You've got to be very careful to guard. When the mind is right with God, then the actions are right with God. Someone said, let me put it this way. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you will eventually become. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you either are or will eventually become. You say, why do you say that? Because the Bible says that. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." In order for a Christian to alter their behavior, his thinking must change. You must plan and guide what enters your mind. Thoughts produce actions. Actions produce habits. Habits produce lifestyles. What you put into your mind eventually comes out in your behavior. Ask yourself this. What have you been programming into your mind? Now, true, you cannot help but have some evil thoughts cross your mind from time to time, but you do not have to entertain them. I'll never forget what my college president said to me when I was in Bible college. I was acting as vice president, and we were having a conversation one day, and we were talking about the mind, and he was a genius. He was a brilliant man, but he very simply said this. He said, "Jeff, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you can stop him from building a nest there." And folks, you can't stop every thought that's sent your way. It's going to happen. We'll get caught off guard. Things are going to come at us, but we do not have to ponder it. We don't have to emphasize it in our mind. We don't have to revisit it. We don't have to brand it into our thinking when something bad comes. You ought to want that something bad to go as quick as it came. And too often, we let the bird of bad come. Then we let it build a nest in our mind. And then we turn negative and carnal and fleshly and hateful and vengeful and manipulative because of what we want and what's been put into our minds. God commands that your mind be transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Hey, that God said your mind is to be transformed. That means an inward change that then produces an outward action. Everybody here, when you got saved, you got the ability to have a changed mind. But God didn't do all the changing of your mind. He gives you the power and the strength and the scriptural instruction to change your mind. But there are some people in here, you've chosen to change your mind in a positive way for God quite quickly. Some of the rest, you drag your feet. You don't really want to stop thinking the way you used to think. You don't really want to start thinking the way God wants you to think. So, there could be a brand new Christian that is transforming their mind at a more rapid pace than an older Christian because that older Christian is being rebellious against the transforming of the mind. But so everybody here knows, not only at salvation were you given a new destiny called heaven, you were given an opportunity and an expectation to transform your mind. How's your mind? Is your mind growing in the Lord? And be careful, fundamentalists. We believe the old time way, and we believe the outside tells you something about the inside. But if you're not careful, you'll get to thinking, "I can change the outside and keep the same old, dirty, lazy, unscriptural inside," and God never intended that. God wants your mind transformed. We have a new building. We'll celebrate the completion of our first year in this new building next week. When we first moved to this new building and we had that new auditorium, and next week it's our plan to move into it. Do you know that in this building, though, there used to be a gym where they would come and work out? In this building, they sold insurance. In this building, there were a couple of medical offices. But you know what we did? God helped us to transform the building. No gym anymore, but junior church. No insurance offices, but a nursery. No longer medical facility, a church auditorium. What happened? We have been going through the process of transforming 804 U.S. Highway 70 East in New Bern, North Carolina, into a spiritual powerhouse for God.
And we've had to do it. We've had to work at it. Did you notice? We had to tear some walls down. We had to gut some things. We had to throw some things away. And then we started rebuilding and making it what it ought to be. And to everybody in here, when you got saved, God expected for you to start demolishing some things that you had put in your mind, throwing it in the dumpster, bringing in some new supplies, and rebuilding your way of thinking. To be right with God, you've got to think right. The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There are, in the Scripture, I think I see three types of minds primarily, and they're mentioned and taught. You have one of three kinds of mind. There is the natural mind. There is the carnal mind, and there is the spiritual mind. Everybody here falls into one of those three categories. Stay with me for a few moments. I want to teach you so you can figure out what shape your mind is in. And this isn't something that I can figure out. I can't figure this out about you. It's something that you are going to have to take up with God. But we're going to look at very quickly the three types of minds possible for the people in this room. The first one is the natural mind. And let me clarify right off the bat. This is the unsaved person. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't say this to offend you, but you're unsaved and you have a natural mind. It's called the natural mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." This is a lost person. They're not born again. They are unsaved. Their mind is in its natural state, which is it is spiritually dead, and God calls it the natural mind. The natural mind has no spiritual appetite for the things of God. He has a hard time, or she has a hard time, comprehending spiritual truth. There are certain things I could go into and preach on right now, and there'd be all sorts of you that are saved, that love the Lord, that have a spiritual mind. You'd say, "Amen, go get him, preacher, that's great." There's somebody that's lost here that could hear me say the same words, and they'd say, "Well, what's the big deal about that? That didn't make any sense to me. Why do you make such a big deal about that?" That's because you can't understand spiritual things with a non-spiritual mind. The natural mind, that unsaved mind, doesn't think properly. The Bible says that he is dead in his trespasses and sin. It's talking about spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now, the natural man may outwardly even be religious. And he may outwardly be moral or have a certain amount of cleanness, but he doesn't really thoroughly and deeply comprehend the Christian life. You know, unsaved people will go to churches and behave and believe things that are not even biblically true, and they're fine with it. You say, "Why are they fine with it?" Hey, some of you think about some of the religions and the stuff that they do, and you're thinking, what are they thinking? They're not. Their mind is unsaved. They can't think right. And so you know, if you're unsaved, you're looking at a man. "I'm not your enemy. I love you. I'm not saying this to belittle you. I'm not saying this to hurt you. I'm not trying to offend you." But there's going to be some things about the Christian life that the natural man or the unsaved man does not understand because you're not born again. You've got to get that part of you born again that helps you to think the way God would have you to think. The lost suffer from confusion. You say, what? Some of these churches, they're whacked out. What are they thinking? Whatever they want. We want to think God's way. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "God's not the author of confusion." I don't understand going and hearing a preacher and you walk away saying, what did he say? That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't usually have anybody say to me, "I didn't understand what you said, Pastor." Usually they say, "I understood it way too well. I don't want it made that clear." But God's not the author of confusion. The natural mind thinks what comes natural to the human race, and because of the sin curse that's upon us, the natural man's thinking is corrupt. It's not good. His thoughts will be what are right in his eyes. The natural man, he uses what's called situation ethics. I'll decide what's right and wrong based on the situation. Folks, we're to decide right and wrong based on the Bible, based on a for sure thing. Hey, the natural man gets all caught up in the humanism of our day and the situation ethics of our day and our way of doing things. This is where, so you understand, this is where the maniac of Gadara was before he got saved. See, why would anybody want to live in the graveyard? I don't know. That's what the natural man thought. Why did anybody want to be out there naked? It would be cold. That's what the natural man thought. Why would anybody be howling at the moon? That's what the natural man thought. Why would anybody be out there and be filthy and they don't bathe? That's what the natural man thought. And by the way, God looks down at all the natural men and he's going, what are you thinking? What are you doing? The natural mind. There's another mind. It's the carnal mind. This is someone that's saved, but they're choosing not to think scripturally. Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God. So, the natural mind is a lost person. Hey, and so y'all know, the stupid thinking of the natural man, that's the best he can do. Hey, if you're lost, the best you can do is not think right. But wait a minute, if you're saved, you can think right. And here it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Now we go to the carnal mind. This is a saved person's mind, but they're not in subjection to the Word of God. Carnal means the flesh. They're not submitting. They're doing what their flesh wants them to do. So now I go to all of you that are born again Christians. Now you have the strength to have a good, decent mind. The carnal mind is a saved person who is doing what they want to do instead of what God wants them to do. The carnal mind is a saved person who is living for their flesh. The church at Corinth was full of carnal Christians. They were saved. They could think right, but they were choosing not to think right. Hey, they would let God influence their thinking in some areas of their life, but in other areas, they would not let God influence their thinking. Paul called them babies. That's what he called them. He said, you're babies. He said, you could only swallow the milk of the Word, or you would only choose to swallow the milk of the Word. They were having to be taught. And he said, here I am still teaching you like a baby, and you ought to be stepping up and teaching, but you're still a baby. You remember earlier I told you, there are some people who grow faster than other people based on how much they're willing to submit their mind to the Word of God. There are some young Christians in here that are growing in their mind very, very quickly, and they are bypassing some older Christians that have refused to let their mind grow in the Lord. These baby Christians, they were cliquish, they were immature, they were divisive, they were easily offended. They wanted their will, not God's, and they would manipulate the Scripture and manipulate others to get what they wanted. Their mind is becoming their enemy. See, the Christian with a carnal mind does not get satisfaction in Christ. So, he chases after things. That Christian chases after amusements and delights and carnal things because he is not trying to get the mind of Christ. You know what he wanted? He wanted to be saved, but he didn't want a transformation of his mind, so he began thinking like those church people. I don't mind getting saved. I just want to be like those church people. The Bible thumpers. Hey, what's a Bible thumper? Well, it's a preacher that every once in a while says, shut up and pay attention. We're preaching. I gave two people a heart attack right there. Christians with the carnal mind, their minds are weak. They're quarrelsome. They're touchy. They're often, by the way, the carnal mind are the people often that cause grief in the church. Can't get along with anybody. Don't like anything. Hey, the thing of developing spiritual convictions does not really interest them. They don't want changed that deeply. I don't mind you glancing at the outward appearance of me so I look like somewhat of a Christian, but I don't really want me changed deeply. I want to go along with the crowd. I kind of want to fit in. But you know, every once in a while you meet somebody that would say this, folks, let me tell you something. Whether I fit in with you or not really doesn't matter to me. I'm going to do what's right. If this whole church supports me, fine. And if you don't, I'm still going to do what's right because I don't need the crowd to be right with God. I need God to be right with God. And some people, you've got to develop a spiritual, mental conviction to where you say, the Bible says it. I believe it. That's the end of it. I don't care if everybody else believes it. At times, you can hardly tell the difference between the saved carnal and the lost. That's sad. There are sometimes a saved person will not transform their minds, will not submit their minds, and you glance at them and you look at their behavior and their attitudes and their actions and you begin to say, wait a minute, are they saved and thinking wrong? Or are they lost and thinking lost? Now, it's not your job to judge. If they say you're saved, if they say they're saved, they give testimony of salvation, I'm going to believe they're saved. But I am going to tell you this, you've met them, saved people, and you can't even tell they're saved because they're not allowing their mind to be changed to go along with the salvation that they've been given. Peter was a saved man in the Bible. Jesus was on the way to the cross. Peter found himself warming his hands by the devil's fire. And at that moment, the carnal mind of Peter got the best of him. Someone said to Peter, hey, are you with Jesus? Peter said, I'm not. So he said, I think you are. He said, I don't even know the man. And I'll cuss to prove it. He said, Kawasaki. That's cuss word to a Harley guy. At that moment, Peter, a saved man, has now dropped his guard. His mind has become carnal. And at that moment, standing at the devil's fire, cussing, denying he even knew Christ, I guess the people standing around might have thought, are you like these lost people? Which group are you a part of? Are you a part of the lost people warming themselves by the devil's fire? Or you are a backslidden Christian that's thinking wrong? Folks, let me tell you, there ought to be a difference. The carnal mind needs to get right with God, get serious. You need to start pumping the scripture into your brain. You need to start pumping good preaching into your brain. You need to remove anything that is corrupting your thinking, that's hindering the transformation of your mind. So, we have the mind that is the mind of the lost. We have that mind that the Bible calls the natural man's mind. Then, we have a saved mind that is carnal. Now, the third and the final mind, the spiritual mind. This is a saved Christian who is letting the Scripture be his guide, not his emotions, not his feelings. You be careful that you don't become a charismatic. Well, I feel. Well, I think. You better do what the Scripture teaches. Spiritual mind. Spiritual Christians. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments. Now, here's a mind that is pure mind. Here's a mind that is attached to the Scripture. It's making its decisions scripturally. This is the Christian who allows the Holy Spirit to help them make scriptural decisions. They know the truth, and to the best of their knowledge, they're thinking and living the truth. They have an understanding of spiritual things. They have a maturity about their mind. Now, get this. Peter, his carnal mind, remember, he's saved. His carnal mind, he's denying Christ. He's lying. He's cussing. Then he gets a hold of himself. You know what happens? Many days later, he finds himself at Pentecost, preaching the greatest revival in the New Testament. What happened? He went from carnal mind, got himself straightened out, to spiritual mind, and started a revival. As a Christian, you could have a carnal mind and be unproductive. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your church. You're hurting the cause of Christ. You can transform your mind and do what Peter did and start a revival with proper thinking. The spiritual mind, the spiritually minded person, he has the ability to teach others Bible truth. The Bible says in Hebrews 5:12, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. Folks, let me tell you something. You should be influencing other people to think spiritually. I wonder, could I send a new Christian to you and have the confidence that what you tell them is not going to be some weird, off-the-wall, something you heard on the internet or watched on television? Could I send a new Christian to you and say, you can trust them to help you through this decision, and they come back to me and say, Pastor, the Scripture is very clear. That person that you sent me to thinks right. They influence me to do right. I'm scared to death to know sometimes that Christians in the church talk to each other because they're not spiritually minded. They're carnally minded, and you'll suck everybody else into what I want to do, what I think, the humanism. And I'm going to tell you, that is the carnal mind. You're to have a spiritual mind. The spiritually minded can be turned into Sunday school teachers and be influencers. The spiritually minded is seeking the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you thought the thoughts of Jesus, then you would become like Jesus. It's done by living the Bible. To do that, you've got to think on the Scripture. You've got to meditate on the Scripture. You've got to stay in church and be in church. Hey, and don't come in here and just listen to the way I deliver the sermon. There's some people just love to watch me preach. I just love it. You get excited and you tell stories and you know how to do it. You want to know something? I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to get the truth of God into your ever-loving soul so it can change your life. And you walk out and say, that's really good, Pastor. That's a really good sermon. I'd like to see you live it. I'd rather be boring and drab and it get into the depths of your soul and revolutionize your life than to me have the winsome personality. And you say, well, I really like my pastor. He can preach. He knows how to shuck the corn. Buddy, you can turn him on high and he can preach circles around people. That's not really why I do that. Trying to figure out a technique to get it through our thick heads so our minds can be transformed. And you say, what are you trying to get out of us? I'm not trying to get anything out of you. I'm trying to put something in you. You want a good life, you got to think God's way. The spiritual man, the spiritual mind, he cares about the lost. He wants them saved. He attempts to win them. The spiritual man, he sees his money differently. It's not all about him and his. It's all God's. And he's just someone watching out for God's interests on earth. His body, it's not all about him. It's not his body. His body is God's body. The spiritual man is spiritually productive. The spiritual man, he is successful in spiritual things, not just in the world. He sees things falling spiritually into place. He's growing and he sees it. That maniac met Jesus. And he had a lost mind. Met him with a natural mind. Naked, wild, dirty, filthy, despised. He got saved. He had to go through somewhat of a process. He went from salvation and he decided He would allow a transformation of his thinking. What happened? Next thing you know, clothed, calm, setting, instructed, example worthy, and the Bible says, in his right mind. What's the right mind? The mind of Christ. That's the right mind. My question today is, how's your mind? If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Get started toward this transformation of the mind that will help you to think God's way. If you're saved and you're carnal, you need to decide to change your mind. Let God change your mind. Head toward that spiritual mind. And folks, if you feel like you do have a spiritual mind, I got to tell you, I'm always working on that. I've never arrived. But you say, that's what I want. Then strive for it. Strive for it. Fight for it. Fight that battle to keep your mind spiritual. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. The first question is in regard to salvation. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Or would you say, I don't know. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know that I'm saved. If you'll raise your hand, I'll pray for you. I won't try to embarrass you, but you say, I'm not saved, and I know it. I need to be born again. Then let me ask this question. Are you saved, and do you know it? You say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. If I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. I could give testimony of that. Well, if you're saved, won't you raise your hand so God can see it? Say, God, I'm saved. I know it. I know if I die today, I'd go to heaven. Now you may put your hand down. If you could not raise your hand either time, your mind's trying to figure out what to do right now. Let me tell you, if you don't know that you're saved, the alternative is that you're not saved. God makes it quite simple. If you need to be born again, if you'll come, we'll take a Bible very quickly. We won't embarrass you. We'll show you how to be born again. I think there are people under the sound of my voice. You're struggling because your mind is carnal. It's kind of a baby mind in Christ yet. You've not decided you really want to think God's way. That's the carnal mind. That's a fleshly mind. With my head bowed and my eyes closed, are there people? Or some of you slipped. You used to think spiritually, but you've allowed your mind to get carnal. You've missed enough church, stopped reading your Bible, and you used to have a spiritual mind, but you slipped. Maybe you're backslidden in your mind. But who here would say, Pastor, I can see that I'm going to have to work some on that carnal part. That gets the best of me sometimes, and God's spoken to me about that middle mind. I've got to work on that carnality in my thinking. My head is bowed, my eyes are closed, but who would raise your hand and say, that's me, I need to work on that carnal aspect of my life. Now you may put your hand down. Here's a simple question, I'm done, and we're going to have the altar call. Who here would say, Pastor, I really, honestly, in my heart, I want a spiritual mind. I really want that. And just put your hand up so God can see it. Yeah, I really do want that. God bless you, and I believe that. Here's what's going to happen. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. In a second, I'll signal the pianist. She'll begin to play. When she begins to play, we're going to stand. When we all stand, if you need a moment at this altar, you come. Some of you ought to probably come up here and apologize to God. You say, I do pretty good, make myself look good on the outside, but on the inside, my mind's a mess. My mind is a mess. If you're lost, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to get saved, and you can get on your way to having a spiritual mind. But until salvation comes, you'll never understand it all because you've got to have Christ to understand the spiritual mind. Some of you used to have a spiritual mind. You're a bit backslidden. Maybe you need some time at the altar. Don't you let anything stop you. If you need this altar, you come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Sir, at work, would you say you're thinking spiritually at work? You have a carnal mind at work, and then you have to go home and shift gears. So you don't want your kids to hear you behaving, talking like that. So you're carnal at home, and you're carnal at work, and then you try to be spiritual at home. Look, God knows the difference. Do you need the altar? Do you have a spiritual mind? Do you have a carnal mind? Are you lost? A fleshly, lost mind, you're not born again. If you're not saved, you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. God calls it the natural man. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the gospel, neither can he know them because he's spiritually discerned. In other words, he's not born again, he can't think right. And again, if you're not saved, I'm not trying to offend you. Do you need the altar? You say, well, Pastor, I don't have to come to the altar to get my mind straightened out. You're absolutely right. You don't. But I just hope you'll get your mind straightened out. Some of you need to declare war on what you put in your mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word let, there's a choice. You can either let Jesus control your mind or you don't let him. I hope you'll let him.